My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John is now back from both the Republican and Democratic conventions and is probably looking for the nearest pillow. But, John, always good to have you with us.
Always good to be here, Greg. It's a pleasure to come back to you after these two grueling weeks.
Well, obviously very different messages, very different hopes of what the voters will do based off of these two conventions. The Republicans are saying that the president has not gotten the job done that he promised to do, and Mitt Romney is the perfect candidate to take on a jobs crisis because of his experience. The president essentially saying that we've tried the Republicans' strategy. It didn't work. There's no reason to go back to it now. I just need you to hang in there with me for another term. Which message do you think resonated better?
Well, it's difficult to say right now. In the past, conventions have always given a bounce in polls to the candidate of either party, which is why the party in the White House likes to go after the party that's not in the White House. This time, we don't see evidence yet of any kind of a bounce. Mitt Romney gained a few points, but it's still essentially a tie, and which tells me most Americans have made up their minds. In addition, less and less of the conventions are being televised, and this could lead to future conventions that are 2 or 3 days long. Already, the weather in Tampa and the scheduling of the Democrats in Charlotte resulted in three-day conventions. I have a feeling this trend of shorter and punchier conventions will continue.
John, what did as you look at the two candidates, what Romney needed to do and what Obama needed to do in order to perhaps gain the bump that seems so elusive right now, which one did a better job?
Again, I would call it dead even, except one thing. Barack Obama very clearly delineated the us versus them mentality repeatedly in his speech when he talked about no tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires, and we can't go back. He underscored a theme that Vice President Biden had highlighted earlier, and that speakers such as former Ohio Governor Ted Strickland, Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley had underlined all during the week. But this is about the middle class and lower income voters versus the rich. And in many ways, this campaign is like Harry Truman's in 1948. Historian David Petruska, the author of the book 1948, said, "Truman owned the pocketbook issues because unemployment was low. Obama certainly doesn't own it. But Truman also ran on sharp class warfare. Obama is Truman on steroids." As for Mitt Romney, all he had to do was introduce himself to the public. "Unless you're Ronald Reagan," Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour told me, "you're not well known if you're a challenger." He introduced himself. He was pleasant enough with some help from wife Ann. So he accomplished what he had to do as well.
John, you were telling me about your time on the floor at the Democratic convention. By most accounts, media and otherwise, the most impressive speech of the week was probably from former President Bill Clinton, although there's a pretty big differentiation about how accurate he was on some things. But in terms of what the rank and file think of the two presidents, Clinton and Obama, I was pretty surprised to learn how much more they like Clinton than Obama, apparently.
Oh, there's no question about it. Jack Evans, who is my councilman here in the District of Columbia, said, "Bill Clinton's my favorite Democrat, the best speaker we have." And I said, "You like him more than Obama?" "Yes." Gray Davis, former Democratic governor of California, and Jim Blanchard, former Democratic governor of Michigan, both told me they looked forward to what Bill Clinton had to say. Clinton speaks for the grassroots Democrats, and they both want him to be used on the stump this year in critical states. As Governor Blanchard put it, he's the gold standard for Democrats.
John, we've seen Bill Clinton act as a surrogate for others, including Gray Davis in the failed recall. He tried to stump for Martha Coakley in Massachusetts. He's basically, what I'm saying is, he's got a mixed record, so while he can give a very compelling speech, how much of a difference will he actually make when it's not his name on the ballot?
Well, that's a good point. In primaries, candidates backed by Clinton generally beat candidates backed by Obama, and they've been on different sides in some primaries, as we've noted here on your program in the past. In the general election, not so. However, Bill Clinton enjoys a popularity unlike any Democratic president in the 20th or 21st century. Most of them left unpopular in office. Lyndon Johnson couldn't even come to the next Democratic convention. Clinton is the Democratic version of Eisenhower and Reagan, given a hero's welcome, the old warrior returning once more to the stadium, and among his own party and the faithful, he knows how to press all the right buttons. One word on accuracy. He digressed from his text and said, the faction that controls the Republican Party now defeated two Republican senators for renomination because, and I'm paraphrasing, they were trying to work with President Obama. Well, best of my knowledge, only one Republican senator has been defeated for renomination this year, Richard Lugar, and that's accurate. If he meant two were beaten, he's referring to Senator Robert Bennett of Utah, and he was not beaten for reaching out to President Obama, but for bad votes he cast.
John, end of the week, on Friday, of course, we got another jobs report, which was not all that encouraging. The overall unemployment rate went down to 8.1%, but that's largely because 368,000 people stopped looking for work and are no longer factored into that equation. 96,000 jobs created, which is also less than expected. Last 2 months revised downward. So a lot of it looks pretty much the same, perhaps even worse, given the number exiting from the labor force. Is this just going to be seen by the public as more of the same since it's pretty consistent, or will this be substantially harmful to the president's reelection hopes, given that it comes exactly just a few hours after his speech?
I'm going to digress a bit and just share the response from someone who follows this and the voting trends around it religiously and very deeply, the pollster John Zogby, who's not aligned with any candidate. He pointed out that Barack Obama could well give the most stirring speech of his career, which he's capable of doing. It will be dwarfed the next day in terms of attention by the jobless figures. He's right about that. Zogby also said that in his own model that he did, when unemployment was 9%, Obama's margin began to dwindle and the generic Republican led him among the people. And then when it dropped down to 8.1, Romney and Obama were tied virtually. And at this point, it's 8.3, I believe. And he said, so I would say if the figures are in the same mold, it'll be a very close election come October. If it rises above 8.3, I'd say President Obama's got some problems.
Well, there's only two more to go, and the last one will come just a couple of days before the election. John, always great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Always great to be here, Greg. I can't think of anyone I'd rather talk to after Tampa and Charlotte than you and Radio America.
Thank you, sir. John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.